Give you a brief history of how we got to this event. So 5 years ago, the Innovation Connector envisioned a community-wide event that celebrated the good and innovative things that are happening in the Muncie community. Because we know that innovation happens in all facets of business and in life. And then we thought, well, we've got this big pitch idea competition. What if we combine these two things? And so Ted Baker took this idea to some community partners, and they joined in to the vision that the Innovation Connector had for this event. And that's what brings us here tonight. So prior to today, 20 community members have received this award. Tonight, we're going to celebrate 4 more wonderful people from our community. So to present the first award, please welcome Dan Ridenour, Vice President of Mutual Bank, and oh yeah, Muncie Mayor-elect for the City of Muncie.
Sometimes the vision is much larger than what we can initially be described or what can be seen. And what can be seen is often only a small part of the impact being made. This is true for 2 men who will be honored tonight with our first of 4 Excellence in Innovation Awards. Starting a brewery is nothing new. Starting a brewery with a restaurant is also nothing new. But starting a brewery and a restaurant in a former ice house, in the middle of an underserved neighborhood with many abandoned houses, well, that just doesn't happen often. And that's just what our recipients have done. Their vision took them beyond the business itself, but they saw a brewery restaurant as a catalyst for change in a Muncie neighborhood, possibly to become a place of hope. Soon after opening, some of the abandoned houses that could not be repaired were torn down. Other houses were put in line to be either repaired or remodeled. And on top of all this, the entire Muncie community is supporting this restaurant and brewery. It is a venue full of activities and music and fun, and the service is excellent. It is already making a difference on Elm Street in Muncie, Indiana. It is my honor to introduce one of tonight's Excellence in Innovation Award winners, Elm Street Brewing Company, represented by co-founder and owner Bill Lett.
Reaching other managers, it's reaching other restaurants, and I hope to see that continue throughout our entire company.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Eric couldn't be with us tonight, but I thank everybody that's helped me along the way, and I like being announced by the new mayor-elect. So thank you very much.
This next award will be presented by Richard Christ, CEO, Weidinger Strategic Services.
Welcome everyone tonight. I get the privilege of presenting one of the 4 distinguished awards, and one of the goals of tonight's banquet is to honor people and businesses from our community who have been very successful, but in some cases not always household names. We've all heard of Muncie Power Products and First Merchants Bank and Jim Davis and Garfield, for example. But it's safe to say that many of you in the room tonight maybe haven't heard of a 120-year-old business based in Muncie, known for manufacturing a product that nearly every homeowner has and uses at least most of the year, a lawnmower. But we're not talking about the gas-powered lawnmower that you either rode on or walked behind that most of us have used, but this is what they call a reel mower. And it's the rotating blade manual push mower that that you power by pushing behind it. In the early days of this business, the company was one of the leaders in manufacturing and selling this type of mower. When gas-powered mowers became much more popular and people moved to neighborhoods that had larger lawns and needed that type of thing, manual push mowers were not quite as in style. And many of them went out of business, but not our recipient here in Muncie. Through acquisitions and innovation, this business is still alive and well today. And with the energy-wise and green-friendly culture that we see, these mowers are actually growing in popularity. Please help me to congratulate the second Excellence in Innovation Award winner for this evening, the father and son team from American Lawnmower Company, Bob and Michael Kersey.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Congratulations to the first two recipients of these awards tonight. Well, now it's time for the big pitch competition. So get out your smartphones. You're going to get ready to vote. And please welcome to the stage Executive Director of the Innovation Connector, Ted Baker.
Good evening again. You know, it's real interesting that throughout the years of doing this, people will stop me after the event, you know, weeks out, and the one thing they talk about is a big idea pitch. You know, I think, what about the other award winners? What about the good food? What about the fellowship? What about the networking? What about, no, they talk about the big idea pitch competition. This is kind of fun. And so tonight we've come to that that part. Before I get into that, since it's really my only time to be up here at the mic, I do want to say some special thanks to build up the, you know, little energy for the big pitch, and our big pitchers are getting ready up here. I really want to thank our Innovation Connector team. You know, we're small. We do a lot of work, but it's just three of us. Lori Albert, Alexis Dishman, and myself. Could you two stand up? They're great. They're great. So. And I appreciate them. We make a good team. We cover where each other's, you know, the strengths and weaknesses and things. So I appreciate them so much. Tonight, our Ball State Entrepreneurship students, some of you had the opportunity to see the easels and the different projects. I would welcome you to look at them afterwards and spend a little time with them. These students coming up in April, not that far away, they're putting their life on the line, literally, because they're going to tell their parents after this, I either graduate or I don't graduate based on this, and their life is in their own hands, okay? So this is a really big deal for them, and it's not easy to be ranked in the top 25 in the country, and this is why. So, yeah, that's a big thank you. We have Ball State students who have helped the volunteer collect the cards, greet you as you walked in. That just doesn't happen by accident. So thank you, students. Thank you for coming and helping us. They said, is there a meal involved? Yes. Okay, so then they could come. So a couple other things. This program that you have on your table, it's kind of unique. We kind of went with the theme of breaking news or headline news. I encourage you to look through it, read it. It's a program you've never, you know, seen anything like this before. I want you to support the sponsors and our partners that are listed at the back. I want to give a huge shout out to our partner who made that whole thing and all of our branding for this come true, and this is Weidinger Strategic Services. Richard, Chris, and your team, would you stand up, please? Come on, stand up. So thank you very much. I love working with Lucas, Lucas Tetro. He is, he gets me. People will look around and, you know, I got these wild, crazy dreams and everybody's shaking their head and Lucas is looking at me like, I get it, you know? And so Lucas, I mean, I really appreciate that. I appreciate all of you. You know, my wife said something to me. She said, during this whole time this year, you seem a lot more calm. And I think I am. After 5 years, you're bound to get it right. But I want to thank my wife, Gail. I love her so much. And we've been married over 40 years. And we're partners in life and all that we do. And so I just want to thank you for putting up with me. So thank you. The videos that you've been seeing, all except the first one, is made by Deathly Creative, a client in the Innovation Connector, Derek Hall. Derek Wave, he's making all this stuff happen behind you. And he's gonna make the PowerPoint for our guest speaker work tonight too, so cross your fingers. So thank you, Derek. I got two real special people that I want to introduce and I just wanna give a shout out to. You know, this thing we call innovation and thing we call incubation and helping small businesses and putting up with all of things that we have to go through and learn and a lot of times on a shoestring budget and a lot of times very understaffed, a lot of demands for people wanting to start and grow their businesses and our, you know, it's a labor of love. And when I got into this, after having my own businesses for most of my life, just this is my 10th year in the Innovation Connector, or 9th year, sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. And there, you know, you think you do. And all of a sudden, you're kind of inundated with all of this stuff. And I can say that, you know, our team and our community has joined together to make, you know, our Innovation Connector right now is full of clients. We have lots of clients on the outside that are working with us. We host the Indiana Small Business Development Center. They're busy. We're partners with all of this stuff and helping clients. But I'll tell you the truth, doing this and running your own business is a little different. And I want to introduce two special guys in my life who I could not do what I do without them, and it's Carl LePan and John Hannett. Could you stand up? Carl is from the Fort Wayne Innovation Center, or Northeast Indiana Innovation Center. He was our guest speaker a couple years ago here, and John Hannett, newly retired from the Purdue Foundation Research Park and such. I don't know, are you really retired? Okay, no, okay. You're kind of like Ron, right? Yeah, you're kind of like Ron. But these two guys took me under their wing when I didn't know what I was doing, and they were part of an association, and they said, Ted, you know, we've been doing this a long time. Come and join us. And so they taught me a lot. They've been my mentors. And I don't know about you, but in your work and in your life, there's those special people who, no matter when you see them, when you talk to them, they're special to you, and that's what those two guys are to me. And I'll tell you what, they don't know it, but they've made a difference in this community just by investing in what we do. So thank you, guys. I love you, and I appreciate both of you a lot. So thank you for coming tonight. Okay. We're ready for the big idea pitch. So pitchers, if you want to kind of come up and prepare, get ready. Just if you want to get your things ready to go, that's fine. Let me just explain a little bit. I want you to get your phones out, and on your table there is a card here. It just says voting login. Alexis, can we go live? Okay. Now, everybody cross their fingers because we're going to see if this really works. We've tested it. We've done everything. The one thing I want you to do is use your own phone network. Use your own plan. Try not to go onto the Horizon Convention Center's their Wi-Fi system because it's not as robust as we'd like. So if your plan can support your own, do it. So what you want to do, you want to go to meet.ps/bigideapitch, and it should be right there. So what's going to happen is we're going to have five pitchers, and what we want you to do is after you see them, you need to pick the one you think is worthy to be the champion. You only need to vote for one. The voting will close down probably about a minute after the last person pitches, so it's not going to be a long time, okay? And in case all this fails, we have provisional ballots for some people who are going to vote on paper. So, you know, Dan, is that right? In elections, you have to have provisional ballots sometimes, right? So anyway, so we're going to do that. So good luck tonight. And let me give you a little history here. The Big Idea Pitch, this is our sixth year doing this. It came about as just an idea. You know, what if people have an idea that we just don't know about? You know, they're thinking about it at the middle of the night. Some ideas are, you know, real legitimate, and some of them are the result of maybe that pepperoni pizza that you ate for a snack at 10 o'clock, right? But sometimes that is. And so what we wanted to do is find out, and on our first year with the Indiana Small Business Development Center and ourselves, we decided to open this up to the community, and we just wanted to see what would happen. And lo and behold, every year we get between 40 and 50 people signing up for the pitch. And what we do is we do educational classes ahead of time, giving them ideas of how to pitch and what makes a good idea and everything. And so the people that you're going to see pitching tonight are the top five finalists. We had about, 40 sign up for it, or nearly 50, I believe. And we had a series of judges a week ago judge and pick the top five. I don't know how they did it, but they did. And so tonight you'll see the top five. The prizes that will be awarded, so now how important this is for you to vote, okay? The winner gets $5,000 cash, and there's no strings attached to it. If it's a Ball State student, they want to go on a good spring break, they can do that, okay? We encourage them not to, but they could. There's a lot of extra prizes, services that go along with it, accounting, branding, legal services. We wrap ourselves around them to help them out. Second prize, $2,500. Third prize, $2,000. Fourth prize, $1,500. And fifth prize, $1,000 plus services. So this is serious business for these people, right? And of all the people, I think we've had like 23 or so people win prizes with the Big Idea Pitch, and I believe 16 of them are currently still in business. So this makes a big difference. The pitchers have 3 minutes. If you notice that bright, shiny object in the back, that's the clock, and they have 3 minutes, and at 3 minutes, they will be cut off, okay? So, everybody have an idea? Someone says, well, how do I figure it out? What do I pick as the best one? Well, you know what? That's why we have 350 people here. You get to decide, okay? Is it a good presentation? Does it sound like a good idea? Does it sound like something that might work? You make the decision of how it's going to be, okay? You're in for a real treat. We can't wait to share this with you. So, the first pitch tonight is Mr. Taylor Lee with the name of the company, Fueled Up. Taylor, if you were to come up and get ready to go, and upon my saying, play ball, you're going to get going, okay? You tell me when you're
testing,
ready.
Testing.
Okay. Hey, we can do better than that. Let's welcome Taylor to this. Come on. Come on, come on. Are we ready with the time clock? Okay, Karen, thank you. Taylor, play ball.
By a show of hands, who here plans to pump gasoline? And if you don't, you're probably about to be on E. So picture this. You're a huge asset to the company that you work for. Because you're so important, you've been selected to lead the team meetings each and every morning. Well, of course, things don't go the way you plan, and you end up busy and you feel rushed. So you know you're on a timestamp. As soon as you get in your vehicle to head to work, you realize one thing. You're almost out of gas. So one, you're mad because you have to go out of your way to go get gas. And two, you feel bad for letting your team as well as your company down for being late. Hello, my name's Taylor Lee, and I'm the creator of Fueled Up. Fueled Up is a mobile fuel delivery service that delivers fuel directly to you while you're at work, at your convenience. Out of 198 surveys, 43% stated that they were dissatisfied with gas stations. The top three concerns were time, safety, and the cleanliness that gas stations offer. Fueled Up combats that by completely removing the user from going to the gas station and instead bringing the gas station to you. It's as simple as logging onto our website or app, creating a profile for yourself as well as your vehicle in terms of the make, the model, the color, and the license plate number. When you're ready, you request service based on your availability. Then one of our fuel technicians will deliver you an estimated time of arrival as well as a final copy, all online at the click of a button. Our target market is specifically business parks with vehicle owners that work a typical 9-to-5. The reason being is with all these vehicles being in a centralized location, this will allow us to service multiple vehicles at once while also limiting our travel expenses. Out of the 198 surveys, 63% stated that they were likely to use our services. They were willing to pay $7.67. To come to their surprise, our revenue model is based on a $5 delivery fee as well as a 5% upcharge on the price of gasoline. We also offer additional services for things like a windshield wiper change, a windshield cleaning, a tire pressure check and fill, as well as a fluid top off. Now, this model is already proven. However, it is only in the West. There's nothing in the Midwest, and to be more specific, there's nothing in Indiana. Our goal is to grow as rapidly as possible, create a loyal and wide consumer base, and then get acquired by one of the major companies from the West. Think of us as the Netflix to Blockbusters for gas stations. We want to provide you ultimate convenience by eliminating the wasted time, the wasted stress, and the repetitiveness of going to the gas station. Help me get everyone else fueled up and back on the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And just a note, Taylor is a senior in the entrepreneurship at Ball State program at Ball State University. So, Okay, so our pitcher number two to my right. I'm going to let him get ready.
Testing.
Okay.
Testing.
Okay, so our pitcher number two, Mr. Troy Smith from the layman bench. Troy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Play ball.
I am going to show you the next must-have piece of equipment for the $88 billion health club industry. Yes, the fitness industry is thriving. However, there's been a major overlooked problem yet to be addressed. You see, although we have many awesome and elaborate machines designed to train arms, the reality is people still also employ free weights using dumbbells and barbells. And although we have preacher benches and tools to help with the efficacy for biceps curling, there has been a massive void regarding any such tool or device for the triceps free weight exercises. That is until now, with the invention of the layman bench. Layman benches provide an adjustable platform suspended above an individual while lying on their back to properly position and maintain the upper arms beyond vertical while performing these exercises. This ensures that the user maintains constant tension, and studies confirm that this creates more potent stimuli for adaptations, specifically for strength and increased muscle size. And strength and increased muscle size are the top two reasons why people lift weights and perform these popular exercises. Now, we've partnered with Purdue University Northwest, and both formal and informal customer discovery research has shown a consistent desire for this bench, both by individual users as well as gym facility owners. We have an absolute winner, and no other company has a patent for all the functions that the layman bench provides. We filed our utility patent with 20 claims of patentability, and we filed an international PCT application for worldwide protection. So let's look at the market. The customer market segments are broken down into four categories: commercial gyms, high schools, colleges, and universities, professional sports team facilities, and residential home users. Well, just the first two segments alone equate to more than 400,000 facilities. And get this, the majority of all these facilities have at least one or more preacher benches for biceps free weight training. The mission of LACO is to put at least one layman into each of these facilities worldwide, and at a minimum $2,000 profit per unit after cost of goods manufactured, this equates to a potential $800 million gross market. So just a bit of history. Back in the 1960s, when Vince Guaranda first invented the ever popular and successful, till this day, preacher bench for biceps free weight training, he forever changed and improved the massive gym and fitness industry. Now, the time has come to bring forth the layman bench for triceps free weight training. And I might well add, for biceps training as well, since layman benches also double as adjustable preacher benches. So I invite you all to join us at making the gym and fitness industry a bit better and more complete with the layman bench. I would appreciate your vote. Thank you so much. I'm Trainer Troy Smith with the Laco LLC, the makers of the Layman Bench.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you. Two tough ones, right? While Carter's getting set up, you know, one of the things that we offer too, since this is a big idea pitch and it's a baseball theme, these are the trophies. These are engraved. The big idea pitch winner, first place, 2019, and all the way down. So that's a pretty cool trophy, isn't it? So these will be awarded tonight too. Okay, our pitch number three. Get ready, okay? I want to introduce to you Mr. Carter Anderson with a company called Famlio. Carter, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Play ball.
It's an estimated $97 billion industry. It's viewed more than Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter combined. What am I talking about? Pornography. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carter Anderson. I'm Muncie born and raised, and not only do I have an idea to share with you all tonight, but I have a story to tell. For me, pornography was an addiction. It was an addiction that gripped me for 6 years. The problem is, I was only one of millions of men struggling in pornography addiction, and not everyone is as fortunate as me to be in recovery. This addiction has been so incredibly painful for my life, and it rips me to shreds to see men across America drowning in the pain from their own addictions. And that is my why. That's why I created my brand, Famlio. We took the first part of the word family and connected it to the Latin word leo, meaning lion. Male lions naturally form themselves into groups with other male lions called coalitions. These groups typically consist of 5 to 7 kindred lions, and the goal is just to help each other fight for territory, find food, and just protect each other in general. Now, we know that pornography addiction is bad, but what's the real solution to this problem? We at Famlio believe that strong community is the answer. We took the natural tendencies of male lions, coupled with my own personal testimony, and now you have our signature coalition groups. These coach groups are fully confidential virtual groups that are based off of a peer-to-peer mentor concept that just uses and values the experience and advice from other group members in their own addictions. For these groups, we will be using the platform called Zoom. Why Zoom? Zoom is a HIPAA-compliant video and web conferencing platform that allows for us to stay true to our value of confidentiality. Using Zoom also helps our scalability. After our test market is completed, this thing is easily able to be scaled in other areas due to the fact that it's virtual. Famlio runs on a subscription-based model. Young and middle-aged men struggling with pornography simply apply for a coalition group. We pair them up with a group specifically tiered to their individual needs and then charge them a monthly subscription to be a part of each group. Now, we don't want to take place of counseling centers all across America. We just want to be an additional resource where men can find strong community that they can rely on. It is our hope and our dream through Famlio that we would see men all across America come to terms with the same freedom that I've found in my life and turn their biggest problem into their biggest asset and victory. Thank you.
Thank you, Carter. That took some guts, really. So thank you. And Carter's a junior entrepreneurship student at Ball State. So I always like to give the Ball State students a shout out. So chirp, chirp, that's right. Okay, you're in for a real treat with our next one. Our fourth pitch, are you guys ready?
Ready.
We are talking here about Brian and Andrea Hughes with the Live Musicians Association. Brian and Andrea, are you ready?
We are.
Ready.
Then play ball.
Nobody knows the trouble I've... Yeah. Hello? Yeah, I'm practicing again.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. She tripped over my mic cable and hit her head on my speaker. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I can't even get gigs, let alone pay her hospital bills. I appreciate you checking. All right. Bye.
Good evening. My name's Andrea Hughes. This is my husband, Brian. We're the founders of the Live Musicians Association, known as LMA. Did you know there are an estimated 27.9 million musicians in the United States?
And many of them are starving musicians or have been in their lives. As a matter of fact, we know just about that. Right there when our kids were about that age, we were playing almost 100 dates a year, yet we were going to food pantries to make sure they ate. We looked happy there, and we were with our trio, but we were sneaking down to our town square in the middle of the night with 5-gallon buckets to get water to flush our toilets because our utilities have been shut off.
Only a few of the musicians in this country are the elite, the Taylor Swifts of the world, the full-time symphony or studio musicians with benefits. Most of us are small to mid-level performers out every Friday and Saturday night, desperately trying to make ends meet and sharing our music with anyone who will listen.
Most of us don't know how to run a business. We're out doing shows without liability insurance, without health insurance. We don't have support except from each other. Frankly, we're on the edge of giving up the little business we have, and we've had nowhere to turn.
Until now, we have the solution. LMA will provide training, networking, music exhibitions at regional and national conferences. We'll offer continuous consultation and face-to-face support, as well as providing awards and certifications for our musicians as we continue to encourage them to achieve at higher and higher levels. Now, the ground-level musician won't just survive, but thrive.
We'll finally get to do what we love, which is our music, and we won't have starving anymore because LMA will provide the training that we need to really have a music business be viable.
With LMA in the corner of those over 27 million musicians across this country, that opening scene may sound a little more like this. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your 2019 Live Musicians Association Duo of the Year, Brian and Andrea Hughes.
It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day.
Thank you so much.
I told you they were good. How about this so far? Wow, huh? Each year gets a little better and a little better, doesn't it? And every year has been good. So we've come to our fifth and final pitch tonight. Are you ready, sir? Getting there?
I'm getting there.
You tell me when you're ready and I'll introduce you, okay? Okay?
I'm ready.
Okay, so our fifth and final pitch, and make sure you get your apps, your phone set to the website. Here I'm supposed to be running a technology incubator. So anyway, we're doing good. So please welcome Trey Gourley with Windolux. Trey, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Play ball.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Trey Gourley, and I'd like to start with a short story. A couple of years ago, my family and I moved into a new home with a finished basement. And anyone with a basement will tell you that even on the brightest days, a basement is still dark. So, as I enter the basement and I flip on the lights, the fluorescent lights flicker on overhead. It still felt cold and sterile. I knew that they're what I wanted. I wanted a real window with natural light. Now, natural light has been shown in study after study that it's positive to our mental health. We all know it. We intrinsically know it. And so, as an engineer, I knew I had a solution or could create a solution for this problem. So I'd like to present to you the prototype of Windolux. Now, Windolux is more than just a light that hangs on a wall. It is a smart home device with the goal to simulate a natural window. In autonomous mode, it takes your location, takes weather conditions, takes time of day, with the sole purpose to present light that would come through a natural window. So, as we journey together, as the sun comes up and the light comes in, the light through Windolux will be just as orange. As the day progresses, the light will progress forward until you get to that midday sun. If the weather is for overcast or cloudy skies, Windolux will dim just as a real window would. And If lightning strikes, if the storm clouds come in, and it senses lightning near your house, so too will Window Lux show lightning. Now, all that to say that you can take control with your smartphone. You can do whatever you want. You can make it noon in the middle of the night. You can maybe make the sun rise a little earlier in the morning. Or you can add a little color to any room. So millions of homes are spending billions of dollars to allow technology to interact with us in our homes in new and exciting ways. Window Lux fits right in with that trend. Everyone I tell about this, they all get super excited because they know the feeling of themselves. They know the feeling of their coworkers who are just don't have that corner office yet. So on the screen, I have Made in Muncie. This is a Made in Muncie product. I'm a Muncie engineer who built Window Lux in that same cold, sterile basement. And so I want to invite you, everyone, to join me. I'd really appreciate the vote for Window Lux so that we can bring light to the darkest rooms. Thank you very much. Good job.
What do you think, huh? Isn't that pretty cool? Five great pitches. Can we give a round of applause to all the pitchers one more time? We will be announcing the names and the winners in a little bit. So please welcome back to the stage Kirsten Smith.
Very cool. Man, I am glad I don't have to vote for those things. That was really amazing. And so different, too. I love it. So voting is closing now, Ted. Is that right? Okay, voting is closed. I hope you've all voted. Have you voted? Are you good? Are we in? No? Okay, hang on. We'll give it a minute. Okay, we'll give it a minute. Okay, so while you all are finishing voting, I will move something I was going to say earlier or later in the day or in the program. So I was thinking about this event, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to, like, find a joke about entrepreneurs? That'd be fun. It'd be something funny. And guess what? Apparently, entrepreneurship, not that funny. There aren't any jokes. I'm just telling you. But I do have a question for you. And the question is, how many East Central Indiana entrepreneurs does it take to invent a new light bulb? Just one. But they need the innovation connector, they need financing, they need mentors, and they need people like you to support them. So thank you for being here. And if you have a joke, please email it to me. Has everybody had a chance to vote? Oh, it's closed? Okay. Well, you can storm the castle later. So it's really interesting to live in this community and realize how many incredible entrepreneurs we have had over the years. Of course, the Ball brothers, Jim Davis, John Fisher, Ron Farquhar, and Will Davis, to name just a few. Tonight, we're honored to have with us a true hometown serial entrepreneur who has pursued his business dreams beginning right here in Muncie. Please welcome to the stage to share part of his journey, the founder of his newest venture, Roots Burger Bar in the Muncie Village, Mr. Scott Weiss.
How's everybody doing? Come on. Now I'm gonna do that again, and this time I'm gonna ask you to say just say cold, since it's cold outside, all right? So how's everybody doing tonight?
Cold.
Thank you. Yes, I do a lot better when I get some audience participation, so this will be much smoother of a roller coaster ride. Those of you that haven't seen me talk before, it's gonna be exciting because there's a little cursing, there's a lot of crying that happens. You might be a little laughter. I'd tell you how I was doing, but apparently the IBJ and the Indy Star make a lot of money using me as the poster child for my life story. So some of you may have known what's the roller coaster ride that I've been on in the last couple years. But I'll tell you what, I'm a man of faith, and I'm not going to get up here and preach because I think that's another place for another time. But I will tell you that I got up this morning at 4:30 a.m., and I got to go be on WLBC Radio with Stephen Lindell, who's much grayer than I used to remember him when I worked at the state. I don't know if he's still here. He's probably in bed by now. I was an intern at that radio station when I was a sophomore in college, and quickly realized that that was not the career for me. I then got to transition to go to Roots today, this afternoon, in the Chamber of Commerce and cut the ribbon for our new menu that we got to launch. I am standing here tonight honored and humbled and blessed. You're on channel two, and you're hungry. Interesting. That wasn't planned. I'm honored and blessed to be here with all of you. I'm thankful for Ted and his team for inviting me. I'm honored to talk to all the future entrepreneurs in the room and those that come well before me. In the breath that was just spoken, with the names that were spoken before mine, I don't feel like I'm even in that ballpark. I'm honored that my parents are here with me tonight, and I'm blessed that I am 6 feet above ground, and I've got four healthy children and a beautiful wife that's most of the time likes me. So that's how I'm doing, and I'm also a little bit cold too. But I want to share a little bit of my story, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the roller coaster that I've been on. So I start with the parents that are over here that clearly built this nerd to either get his ass kicked on the playground or become a future CEO. So I like to think that they were training me to be a CEO, and that's usually the joke that I like to start with, and they've heard me say this 1,000 times. But you know what I would say tonight? I would say they raised a child that had confidence, that loved people and loved his community. And the reason I'm honored to be back here tonight is because I feel like in my life, in the game of Monopoly, in the life that I'm living right now, granted, at this time of year with a 0-degree temperature, I might have liked to retire to Florida, but my life has brought me back to Muncie, back to my roots. And I am so humbled and thankful to run into my college roommate down here to see how well his company is doing. And I know that the boy that these parents raised a very good boy that loves his town and loves his hometown and will do everything he can to support it, including all these entrepreneurs that are in the room. This saying was something that my parents kind of used as a curse word in our house. We were never allowed to say we couldn't do something. And I remember over and over I would try to trump my dad and tell him what he couldn't do. And he would tell me, always an answer. I'd say, Dad, you can't do this and you can't do that. And he'd always have an answer. He'd beat me and I'd run away and try to figure out something else that he couldn't do. And I remember the one that I pushed him on was that he couldn't fly. And he said, and it took him about 3 seconds to answer, and he said, well, actually, I could if I wanted to. I could go to the tallest mountain and I could jump off. And granted, I would die, but I would be flying for a little bit. And he always wins the argument, so I just walked away and did whatever a 13-year-old does. So my first unsuccessful business was when I was in third grade. I illegally employed my two younger sisters and forced them to, my parents were beatniks from Muncie Central, and so they always had these ideas of, you know, weaving scarves and selling things that they did in high school. And I said, well, this is, you know, at this time it was the 80s. And I said, Mom, this isn't 1940, this is 1980, give me a better idea. And so they gave me the idea of selling cinnamon toothpicks. And so I took these toothpicks. We got up early one morning, and my sister, you know, we got the toothpicks all scattered around, and we get cinnamon oil out, and we put the cinnamon oil in the toothpicks, and then we would take the tinfoil and roll them up, and we head to Yorktown, and we're ready to make a killing for, you know, I'm selling these things for like 15 cents a piece. And by, I don't know, third period, I'm like, God, I've got a pocket full of change. I'm crushing it right now. And over the speaker comes the principal and says, you know, they could dial into the individual room. And they say, I don't know, Mrs. Partner, I'll just use her name because she's a teacher that I can remember. Mrs. Partner, we need to see Scott Wise in the principal's office. And you know, when that comes on, and these are the days of wax, right? Like you could get paddled in school. These are the good old days. So I'm, you know, for lack of better terms, I'm shitting my pants because I think that I'm going to get whacked. And so I go down to the principal's office, and the principal says, Mr. Wise, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? I'm freaking crushing it. I've got like $235 in my pocket. I've got my first successful business. What do you mean, what am I doing? Probably going to sponsor this high school soon. And he says, well, here's the problem. When you dip those toothpicks in the cinnamon oil and you rolled them in the foil, you didn't let them dry. So when the kids got the toothpicks and they started chewing on them and touching all their body parts, well, everybody got a rash. And so school that day, I actually was kind of heroic. Not only was my business a failure, but school got shut down a little early that day at Yorktown. And so future entrepreneurs, that's only one of many failures that I will tell you that I went through. But I will say this over and over and over, and I think that every entrepreneur in the room would agree with me, that it's not the successes that make the woman or the man, it's the failures, it's the mistakes, it's the things that you do and how you're going to rebound from them and correct them. And I didn't correct them real quickly, because then I wouldn't even tell you the story of working at Dairy Queen and how I used to dip my hand in the chocolate and it would get hard and I would just eat my fingers at work. That Dairy Queen in Yorktown has since burnt down, and it was not me. So I think that, as I joked, and I told Steve this morning when we were at WLBC, I said, when I quickly realized that I was on the wrong end of getting up at 2 a.m., like I like, you know, partying till 2 a.m. and then going to bed, not waking up at 2 a.m. and going to work. So that's when I figured out that I didn't want to be in the radio business. And I said this on the radio today, and I can't promote it enough, that for the young entrepreneurial minds in the room, that it's sometimes life is about figuring out what you don't want to do instead of figuring out what you want to do. And the quicker you can figure that out, the better. I figured out when I became 45 years old and I sold this company that I had to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And that was a shock. And we'll get to more of that later. I graduated from Ball State, proud alumni, in 1995. I moved to Texas. And if I really want to lay down on the psychological couch in front of all you and in front of my parents as well, I was trying to run from my name. My parents, God bless them, are some of the most successful people that I know. And the problem with that and being first child and OCD and type A is that you've got big feet to fill, big shoes to fill. And it's ironic. The twist in the story is that everywhere I went in Muncie when I was a young kid, it probably kept me out of trouble. Now, my youngest sister, it did not. She really didn't care about the name. She would rather just go get arrested all the time. She really didn't. But I was known everywhere I went as Jerry and Debbie's son. It was almost like they greeted me as like, hey, you're Jerry's son. Hey, you're Debbie's son. I'm like, well, my name's Scott. Good to meet you. And the ironic twist of that story is that, I don't know, 15, 20 years later, they get to be known now as Scotty's parents when they walked around town. And it was, for me, that it meant a lot. But what I found when I was going through this life crisis that I was in was that I kept running from my last name. My freshman year, I went to DePaul University, DePaul with a W, and I was a swimmer. And one of my first of many challenges in life was I was also anorexic. And again, I had loving parents that said, if you don't start eating, we're going to stop paying for your college. And luckily, that worked. That got me to start eating a little bit more. I also transferred back to Ball State because, as I like to joke, to get into my future career of selling beer, I needed to drink more beer, and there's no better place to do it than Ball State versus DePaul. So when I went to Texas, I kind of was running from that last name. I went there to escape being Jerry and Debbie's son. And again, while I was there, and I'm kind of skipping through like the youth of, I worked at the Applebee's that's still on McGalliard. That was my stomping ground. That was where I got born and bred into the restaurant business, and it really caught my love for it. When I was in Texas, I was bartending. I had a day job, and I used my marketing degree from Ball State. I didn't do entrepreneurship only because I was a year behind, and I'm type A OCD. I wanted to get out into the workforce and make money as quickly as I could. I didn't want to go through the program and add another year. So when I'm in my job in Texas, I'm bartending at night, and that's kind of when the light bulb went off. And I said to myself, quit running from your last name. God gives all of us some kind of benefit, some kind of blessing, some kind of, we can sing, we can teach, we're philanthropic. Use your last name to your advantage. Go back to your hometown, be Jerry and Debbie's son, and create something. And so that's what I did. I left Texas, came back home, loved when my mom was doing my laundry for free. In fact, she still helps out with now 4 kids and so much more laundry. And I was living at home, and I said to my dad, I got an idea, and you remember Mugley's, or some of you remember it as the pub, and it's gone through a couple transitions. And I said, this little bar's for sale, and I think I can make it work. Now, note to all parents in the room, they should have said, you're an idiot. No, you go get a real job, and you're not going to do that. And I would also say, and I say that kind of funnily out of my mouth, that they loved me. And I got my degree of life came from sleeping on rolls of carpet inside of houses that we would move from house to house, or going to my dad's and mom's office and thinking it was funny that I would take all the paper clips and tie them all together so that the secretaries would go bonkers on Monday when they'd have to come in and undo all the paper clips. I got all that from them, and so when I said that I had this idea, they said, prove it to me. Put together a business plan and tell me that you can make it work. Dig in and let me see that you can make it work. And I did that. And so we went to the bank, and we got my first line of credit for $50,000, and I bought the original Mugley's for $60,000 on contract, and I made those $1,500 payments per month, and it was successful, and it was great. And I said, Dad, if you knock this down and make it bigger, I can make more money. Now again, note to the parents in the room, that's not like an equation that really works. Like, you're not supposed to say, knock a building down, buy a building, knock it down and make it bigger, and I'm gonna be even more successful. But they're parents that believed in me, and they loved me. And I did make it better, and I did make it more successful, and I did make more money. Until this happened. Anybody in the room remember Lucy Lucy? I know I've heard lots of names out here that have been around for a while. God, what a failure. That was such a nightmare. I mean, I did everything I did, everything I could do wrong, I did wrong. I screwed up from the day one. I didn't even know what the word soft opening was. I will never forget that first day. I advertised the hell out of the fact that we were opening. You don't do that. You're supposed to open and not tell anybody so you can work out the kinks. I didn't know that. I just thought I was a really kick-ass restaurateur because I just did Scotty's and we were crushing it. So I thought, this business is easy. So I open number two, and I get my ass handed to me. The beauty of being young and stupid is that that didn't really faze me. Like, if I told myself today, you're gonna lose $1 million, I'd like suck my thumb and cry and figure out I'm gonna go work somewhere else. But at the time, I think I was 23, 24, I thought, well, all right, I'm not gonna let the bank have all this equipment. I'm gonna take all this equipment and I'm gonna rip it. My parents still laugh at me because I took everything. Water softener, sinks, I ripped everything out of there. And I said, Scotty's is still working. I'm gonna go to Bloomington and I'm gonna open Scotty's number two because I've got a dream and an aspiration to grow this company to about 25 restaurants, and eventually I'm gonna sell it because I know this thing works. I know this thing works and I can make it work. And so I did that. And it took me about, I don't know, 7-8 years to pay back with Chase Bank. I know there are other banks in the room, but Chase was my lucky bank that I got to pay back for 8 years on that one. And that was pain. That was something I needed to go through. All those things that I went through, and I'm giving you just a glimpse of the things that I went through. My wife and I had lots of sleepless nights, as I'm sure many entrepreneurs in the room can attest to. How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay a rent? What am I going to do next? What you're going to do next is you're going to pick yourself up and you're going to figure out what you're going to do and you're going to learn from your mistake. I think that sometimes things are off. Your timing is off. But I also believe that that God serves us these things that happen in our life for a reason. And sometimes it's about humility. Sometimes it's about this. It's trying to figure out what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? That is just one. I don't have to go through the Walt Disneys of the world or the late, great Steve Jobs or Phil Knight or all the different entrepreneurs. I've heard already a couple people in the room that have talked to me and said, you know, I went bankrupt at this time, and then I just restarted, and I did this, and I thought, man, entrepreneurs are crazy, aren't we? We think we want to be our own boss, and we're going to make a bunch of money, and I just heard over here that on average, with our hours, that we make $5 an hour. But you know what? I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love my job. I love what I do. I love getting up, and I'm inspired, and I'm passionate. And I think that the importance of talking about this next blip that I went through in the recession, we all probably remember that, and all of us have our different stories, but I held on for dear life. I didn't know how I was going to keep the restaurant open. I didn't want to lay off any of my people, and the one thing that I thought that I could do was cut my marketing budget. That was the one thing where my CFO said, you got to cut $300,000, and I said, all right, no more marketing. I'm going to flip, and I feel like people should be using this thing called Twitter. No one is out there really they don't know what it is yet, but I feel like it's going to be something. And Facebook for Business had just started, and I thought maybe that's something that I could use as a tool to market, to say, just come in, buy one, get one free. I just need bodies, I need bodies in the restaurant. I pivoted. I figured out what the problem was, and I learned how to adjust to make my business succeed. And I survived the recession, and I didn't lay off a single person. About 7 years ago, I got a brain infection. And it's called viral encephalitis. And I need to just skip this slide and quit, take this out of my presentation. I came very close to dying, and I was in the hospital for a while, and it was scary. But I look back at that time, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that God put me in that situation, because it allowed me to do something that was really cool in my company. I always called ourselves, and I still would call this today, as I wanted to be the anti-chain. So I wanted to be big and make a lot of money and sell my company, but I didn't want it to act like it was a big corporate animal. And so to do that, I said, I'm not going to have a mission statement. Mission statement is BS. That's they tell you got to do that in school, and I'm going to, you know, fight the power. I'm going to say, you know, our mission is that we're just going to give good food and good service, and we got good atmosphere, and we're going to kick ass. That's my mission statement. Well, then I almost died, and no one spoke to me, and I didn't, you know, I did, there was some weird stuff, but anyway, there wasn't an epiphany at that point with the mission statement, other than I came out of that situation, and I thought to myself, you know, restaurateurs or people in the customer service industry were people pleasers. Right, so it didn't change the person I was. I still wanted to help the world. I even today with the restaurant, I just feel like there's so much that I can do for our world, because there's so many people that are just mean, you know, like just say stuff on Twitter that they wouldn't say to my face. And so I thought, I'm gonna keep trying. You know, I'm gonna keep doing the stuff that's good in the world. But I at the time had 2,000 employees. And I thought, you know what, restaurant people, not all of us, but we've got some broken people in our industry. A lot of transient, a lot of, you know, it's an easy job to come in, make quick cash, and then get out and go somewhere else. And I thought, I need to help be a mentor to those people. I need to try to help shape their lives. And so I used this book, was the start of this kind of this mission statement, vision statement that I had. And I thought, you know what, I want to try to help them be better. And so that book has a lot of things, and you probably can't, I don't know, you might be able to read that. My eyes are terrible. I can't even read it from here. But it's things like, you know, eat milk and cookies. That's good for you. Or play fair. Don't hit. Be nice. Wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Like, stuff that you think people should know, especially in the restaurant industry, about the washing the hands. But a lot of, I think we've just lost a lot of this etiquette. You know, my own kids, again, you know, this all the time. We're all this. And I'm always with my son. Look me in the eye. Smile. Say please and thank you. So I have all these 2,000 bodies, and I thought, you know, I can't, by this time they're 18, 20 years old. I'm not gonna be able to develop a new person, but I can help them do better in our world. And so the thing that I like the most in our vision is that top line, we made it real big, was I said, donate time, mind, body, and soul every 90 days. We're gonna do something good in our community, and we're gonna make our world better. And so I did that within the company. This was, we started serving downtown the homeless on Thanksgiving. And I did that Again, it started about 8 years ago, and the first year I think we had 25 people. By the time before I left the company, we were serving over 500. And that's just one of many things that we did. We took toys to Riley Children's Hospital, Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital. There were things that I could go over with you, but it was, for me, it was the most beautiful thing in my entire career that I was able to shape and help develop these lives. And I would get occasionally an email from somebody that said, I worked for you 10 years ago, and I now live in Fishers, and I've got a family, and I finally get it. I finally understand what you were trying to do. And now I'm trying to help my kids and my family do those same things. And that is the kind of legacy that I want to leave behind. So I think I've got a video to cue up right now.
I remember just being so tired and just telling myself, don't fall asleep. Keep my eyes open and keep thinking about my wife and my kids. But when I woke up out of that fog, cobwebs cleared, and I saw my parents and my wife and my kids, that's when I was like, I've been given another opportunity. We'd always been a company that had tried to give back to the community and every community we've resided in, but I wanted to take it a little bit further. I create this vision card. I got this new mission for the company. It was when Kim Dotson approached me.
When we decided that we really needed to do something about unemployment for people with disabilities, I immediately thought of Scott Wise. It was the easiest conversation of getting a partner in this project.
She had like five words out of her mouth, and I said, yes, I'm in.
I kept trying to stop him from agreeing to be in because he didn't know what all I was asking.
Let me make sure I explain to you that 25% of your staff has to have some kind of physical or mental challenge, and we're going to have a training set. And I said, Kim, I said yes. I'm not going to sit here and say that I wasn't naive to this. It's one thing for me to want it, but it's a whole nother thing for me to try to talk a 22-year-old into also feeling the way I feel. Or turn that around and even saying the customer that comes in, maybe they don't want to know and they don't like change and they don't like different.
Not everybody is as comfortable being around people with disabilities.
It's something that society is not used to.
We're frightened by it because we don't know how to act or react.
People feel like, I don't know what to say, I don't want to offend somebody.
So I was always worried about my employees and I was worried about the customers. How would they react?
Hello, thank you for calling Three Wiseman Brewing Company in Muncie. This is Jimmy speaking, how may I help you?
All right, follow me please.
The customer part has been incredible.
I get people stopping me in the restaurant saying, hey, you guys are awesome for this. Keep it up.
The employee thing, there hasn't been a single problem. And in fact, it's almost like a big brother or big sister phenomenon is happening. When you see them come in and you see this glue, it's the most amazing thing. It's almost like it's a secret I don't want to share with anybody because I don't want anybody to know how great this is because I want it all to myself, but that would be selfish and wrong. That's why I want people to understand that we hire everybody. It started as just a drop of water in a bucket, and the waves and the ripples are now reaching other people. It's reaching other managers, it's reaching other restaurants, and I hope to see that continue throughout our entire company. These are all people that are capable and willing and want to work. Why wouldn't we give them an opportunity? Where other people might shut a door, we're going to open it.
They used to open it, now they're closed. So if you can give me my next slide. That legacy to me is beyond my parents and my kids. It's one of the most important things that I hope that I left behind. I wish that place was still and with me. I wish those people were still with me. But I would tell all the business entrepreneurs in the room that one of the reasons why we created that video was not just for ourselves to try to get people to join our company, but it was for other companies to see that you can hire people with challenges and not do it because of quota or sit them in the corner and say that they're hired, but they're over pushing paper. These people love to work in our industries, in all of our industries, and they just need a chance. So those of you that are doing any hiring, I got to put a plug in to say that I can't recommend more for you to give people like that a chance. So the other thing that I like to talk about in these talks as I'm going through my life quickly is to tell you that the things that I think all these companies that came up here today, by the way, congratulations to all of you. The ideas were incredible that were up here. I usually like to follow a really sucky speaker, and it's disheartening to have to follow like five really great pitches that were in 3 minutes. So you guys did awesome. Congratulations. And I will tell you that some of the things that I put up here, I hope that you can implement into any business that you put, all you young entrepreneurs, and even you older entrepreneurs, the passion that you can put into your people, man, that is the sole, in my opinion, the sole successful driver is, number one, your passion and your leadership. And number two is putting that love and pride and respect into your people. Because when they feel it and they see it and they're behind you, you can conquer mountains. And I'm telling you, even with the slam that we all want to put on this millennial generation where they all get first place trophies and they all get this and that, remember who the ones are that were giving them the trophies? That's us, right? So let's not get mad at them. Sometimes they just need a little help getting to where they need to go. They don't get to have a corner office right out of college. So, but that's okay. And what I would ask is that you remember to surround yourself with all this greatness. So these images are one of our trips to the Children's Hospital. That visit for me was so incredibly heartwarming that we started doing it twice a year. We did Christmas in July. Some of you might have donated a toy to me at one point, and you got your free dill chips, so thank you for that. Or they thank you as well. But to see the kids that would smile for just a second with tubes coming from them, knowing all the pain that they're in, I'd come in there with a ton of toys. And we'd have these wagons that we'd roll down the hallway. And they would get mad at me because I'd go to each room and I'd give them like 10 toys. And they're like, can you keep it to one? Because we'd like to store some of them in a closet. And I'm like, no, I'm the one that got all these toys. I want to feel what it's like to be Santa here. So some of the trips we did a trip to go see the movie Chef. If you haven't seen it, love that movie. I just closed my office down one day and I took all of our corporate team and I just said, we're going to the movie today. And I want to be inspired, and I want you guys to watch this, and we're going to have fun. The one on the other side is an Indians game. I would always take my team to an Indians game once a year. We'd shut down every restaurant. I'd bus them all there. My lawyer and my CFO at the time would tell me, would you stop? Please stop doing this. We cannot handle another arrest, and we cannot. And I'm like, well, listen, this one out of like 500 that come to this game, we're going to have a little bit of attrition. I know some kids are going to get arrested, but... And my lawyers did not like that comment, but the goodwill that came from that was incredible. And I can't impress upon you this enough. If you've ever heard me speak, I've done lectures on this, and there are times where I'll lay out in the room like this a card for everybody and an envelope, and I'll give you a homework assignment. And I would actually, you know what, I'm just going to give you a homework assignment today. Yeah, I'm not going to check on it, but why not leave a note? Leave a note for your wife or your husband tomorrow morning, or the next day, or your kids, or how about the mail person, or the trash people, or the only rule that I ever have in this game is that it can't be anybody that's above you in the office. That's called ass kissing. That's not what this is all about. This is a note of thanks for just anything. I always every Christmas time, I duct tape a gift card. Used to be to Scotty's. To my trash cans, and I just give those to people that are picking up the trash. I don't have to do that. I do it because If you can you imagine if we all just did one little kind gesture? And I also sidebar this by saying that buying a $7 coffee for someone in line that's also buying a $7 coffee, that's not a pay it forward. Go down the street and down one of our streets and buy someone that needs a warm meal a warm meal. That's a pay it forward. So your homework assignment has been assigned. I'll check on you later. I'll email everybody to find out if you've done this or not. If you can cue the video, we got one more.
You have said, in fact, that your workers, your employees, are as important.
They're number
perhaps,
one.
Perhaps more so.
They're number one. It used to be a secret, but now I'm just going to share it with everybody that I believe the employee is more important than the customer. I believe the employee is more important than the customer. More important. I believe the employee is more important than the customer because I believe if you put your love and passion into your employees and they understand it and they believe in your dreams and your values, then ultimately they're going to make the guest happy. All my success on it, I would base it back then, are the people that I surround myself with. A lot of times I get a lot more of the glory than I deserve. I'm just one guy helped out by an executive team of great people.
So a couple things that when I watch these videos again, one, I love watching myself reverse age. I wish I could go back and have hair that's less gray. Two, I hope that none of your kids were in those videos and they're drinking and God please that they were of age if they were. And three, that when they do drink, they love the company. So not that you should serve them beer to get them to love the company, but those video clips were something that, so that was an Indians game that we took them to that I told you were a couple of the, you can now see why maybe a rest or two happened. That was my backyard that we would have a fall holiday party for our management team. All those kids that were in costumes, we went and got a local fire department to do a parade around the church in our backyard. The farm was a place where we got our local beef that we used at Scotty. So those were just like things that I try to use within the company to show passion and pride towards my people and also to use it as an educational tool. So those were things that were things that I couldn't recommend to you more to make your company successful. So you might know the story in 2016 that I finally decided to sell the company. I felt like I got to that point where I was there. I made it. I got to 20 restaurants. I was ready to take on a new chapter in my life. And I don't know legally how much I'm even allowed to say anymore with these speeches that I give. But I'll tell you that the group that bought it were not as truthful as they should have been. I was told that I was going to stay in charge of the restaurant. I thought, all right, this is good. I'm going to still lead it. I'm going to have this power behind me. I'm going to be able to grow this thing. They told me we're going to have 200 restaurants open in the next 10 years. And I was excited. I got sold a bad bill of goods. And I would also tell the entrepreneurs in the room that when you go to do these things, if you ever do want to talk about any of this stuff, my email will be later, the final slide. You're welcome to email me, because I part of why I do these things is not because it's free. Well, there is a plug on your table, so I expect to see all those $5 Roots coupons to come in next week. So please, or buy a gift card or whatever. That's my payment for this. But I would tell you that my goal here is to help young minds or even older minds find out what they could do and do better, how you can pivot, and how you can make yourself successful. And I will tell you that if you are going to sell your company, man, there's a lot of things you got to watch for. And I didn't. I'm at the end of the day, I can blame all the people that did the things to my company that they shouldn't have, but I signed the papers. You know, I'm the one that I did it. And so the blame rests with me, and that's something that I live with and I struggle with and I'll continue to struggle with. But I also know it's one of God's learning lessons. I still haven't figured out where we're going with this one yet, so anytime you want to let me know. But I know, everybody likes to tell me, you'll get through this, you'll be successful. I'm like, yeah, I know I'll get through it, but God, it hurts right now. And I'll survive. Chapter 2 is now some of the stuff that I'm working on. It's Roots, and I've got an esports company that I've got in Indianapolis that I work with with a partner, very close to signing a deal with Butler, which I'm really excited about. And I've also accepted a position with, you're the first group that I'm going to tell, that I'm going to be a restaurant broker in Indianapolis for CBRE. I accepted a role. So if anybody needs brokerage, I'm your guy. I'm excited to rely on myself and less groups of 21-year-olds to motivate and to try to do things. But I'm excited. The restaurant for me, to come back into my hometown and to be embraced like I have been by all of you, by this community, it was something I needed in my life. My wife and I feel like we've been kicked around a lot these last couple years, and that's okay. You know, I think that if I can share one of my last examples to all of you are some of these points, but I'll tell you that failure is not a bad thing. Mistakes are not a bad thing. I hope to God that all of you, but really I hope that my children are watching. I try to have conversations with them, and it's difficult because they're 8 and they're 12 and their attention span is about the size of a gnat. And I try to tell them, listen, and they say, Dad, why'd you sell? Why'd you sell Scotty's? And I say, buddy, because I thought I was taking care of us. I thought I was making the right move. And you know what? It didn't work out, and that's okay. Because you see what I'm doing now? He's like, yeah, you're getting up at 4:30 tomorrow. Tomorrow, and you're not making me breakfast. And I said, buddy, what happens in life is you take things like this and you keep punching, you keep moving forward. Because life's going to knock you down a few times. And that's okay. So all you entrepreneurs remember that it's almost like when you get to the top of the mountain, man, that target on your back gets big and your head, for just some reason, gets too big as well. And you kind of forget where you came from. And I've not. I'm back in my hometown. I'm back, and I know that humility was one of the things that God wanted to serve me. And I'm okay with that. So I'm going to leave you with one final video, if you want to cue it up. Just one last real quick one. I know Ted is like rolling over in his grave right now. He's like, would you get your hell off the stage? We told them this would be fast. I apologize. I told you I'd cry, and I'm wordy, and I'm mouthy. And I don't think that's the right video. Let's see if it plays. All right, you know what? Just scrap it. It's just a good motivational video that says everything that I just said. Keep moving forward. Thank you guys for having me tonight. God bless all of you. Be safe driving home. Support your local restaurants. Support Elm Street and support Roots. Thank you.
Are we on? Thank you. Hi. Thank you, Scotty, for sharing that with us. It's funny, but yesterday I was looking for a quote to put up in our office, And the quote was by Steve Maraboli, and it is, "Life doesn't get easier or more forgiving. We get stronger and more resilient." And I think Scotty Weiss just proved that is true. It is time now for the remaining two Excellence in Innovation Awards. Please welcome to the stage Mitch Isaacs, Executive Director of the Schaefer Leadership Academy, to present the award.
Good evening. All right, thanks. One of the most important characteristics needed to start and grow a business, as Scotty just discussed, is passion. Passion is usually a result of knowing why you are in a business or why you do what you do. For our next recipient, this passion was a result of something his grandfather loved to do, make barbecue sauce. Everyone loved his sauces. Years after his grandfather's passing, our recipient tried to duplicate the sauce in his kitchen. There was one big hurdle. His grandfather never wrote down the recipe or passed it on to others. So after much trial and error and many variations of sauces, our recipient accomplished his goal. It was such a hit that others wanted to buy the sauce. As a result, John Tom's Barbecue Company is now a reality. This sauce is now in over 100 retail locations and nearly 70 food services. This business's path was not easy, but through a lot of diligent work and innovative processes, this sauce is far and wide. It is my privilege to introduce the third recipient of the Innovation Connector's Excellence in Innovation Award to John Tom's Barbecue and founder and co-owner Lethay Pegues and co-owners Terrell Cooper and Rodney Robinson.
I want to thank God, because without him, none of this would be happening. I want to thank my wife, LaShia, for believing in me and moving back to Muncie 13 years ago to move in with my mother and start this thing. And I want to thank my partners, two of the best partners a guy could ask for. You hear the horror stories about don't do business with your family or your friends. And I did the opposite, and man, I couldn't ask for better partners. So thank you, thank Muncie community for supporting us.
I don't think he wants to work with me. He's just saying that right now, but this has been a great journey. I mean, stand up here to say that we sell barbecue sauce. What more fun is that? Right, but Scott Wise, wherever you are, we can definitely relate. Definitely relate. We have struggled. There's been a lot of resiliency. We had to pivot, but I think that's the key to the success. And we're not saying we're successful. We're still trying to get to that point. But there's beauty in the struggle. We have to learn from our mistakes, and that's what I think we're trying to do. And we appreciate it. So thank you.
I'll just echo what these guys have said. I mean, it's been phenomenal, just being born and raised in Muncie, being able to really develop a product that bears my grandfather's name, just to move his family here, start his roots here, grow up here, and to be able to stand in front of you all and just represent a good group of people. So definitely humbled, just looking forward to the next chapter, and just thank everyone for their continued support.
And presenting the last award tonight is Rich Spizak, Senior Program Manager, Ball Brothers Foundation.
The fourth and final recipient of the Innovation Connectors Excellent in Innovation Award is being presented to a couple who wanted to make a difference in their hometown, Yorktown, Indiana. Coupled with that passion was a desire to not just work in a dead-end feeling job, but to utilize their gifts and talents to make a difference in the lives of others. There was also a market opportunity that was not being filled in the greater Muncie community. To see the passion and skill development for baseball and softball passed on to the next generation. Starting this business was a family effort and required the former baseball player husband to leave his stable job many years. The whole family was in. I'm happy to report that this business has grown significantly by adding additional services such as agility training, managing baseball and softball fields in the Yorktown area. Our recipients also formed the Challenge League, allowing children with disabilities to play baseball in their own league setting, utilizing buddies to be with each player. This league is one of the neatest things in our community. Innovation is well written all over this business. They've had to make it more than just batting cages, and they did. It's now a training complex used by the greater Muncie community, as well as high school and university teams. Please welcome with me the fourth recipient of the Excellent in Innovation Award, 5 Tool Academy, and its founders and owners, Mark and Heather Taylor.
This is just such an honor, and it's been exciting 6 years to work together and create a community for baseball and softball players, not just to train, but truly to build that community. And there's a lot of people here tonight. I want to say, not a lot, but several. I won't be here for hours, I promise. But I wanted to thank several people that are here tonight that really made this possible. And first of all is Ted Baker. Without Ted, we would have been too scared to move forward, too scared to leave the job, too scared to open it. And so, Ted, thank you so much for holding our hand from beginning to grand opening. Secondly is Steve Moore. Steve at First Merchants walked us through step by step financially and just helped us build the logistics of how do you do this? We didn't know. And so Steve, thank you not just for your friendship, Steve and Jean both, but thank you for hand-holding us through the financial and getting this up and running. I want to thank the dozens of instructors. Instructors come in nights and weekends and really invest in kids, not just teaching baseball, but mentoring young men and women. And one of our instructors here tonight has been with us from the beginning, Bruce Bowling. He's here with his wife, Amy. Bruce really just pours his life into countless young men, not just making them better baseball players, but making them better young men. And one of those kids even is our kid. He signed his national letter of intent this morning. We're pretty excited about that at our house. And so, Bruce, thank you for all you do. Thank you for everything you've done for the kids. And finally, thank you. I've seen several people here tonight who train in our building. Thank you to the thousands of athletes and their families who choose to train in the building and compete in our tournaments. We're just really, really excited and grateful.
I'd just like to publicly thank my wife for giving me the courage to jump into this venture. Thank you.
All righty, now is the time to hear who won the big pitch competition. Please welcome back Ted Baker to let us know.
As they say in baseball, we're rounding third and headed for home here. All of you at your table have a $5 gift card. This is real legitimate. Please go to Roots. Scott didn't charge us to speak tonight. So you pay him, okay? So go to his restaurant, and we paid it forward, and we did it today. We went there for lunch. Right before this, we've got some door prizes. They're over there. And we got some really good ones. I just want to announce the winners. This was done legitimately. Just to let you know this, the winner of the Five Tool Academy cage rental or lessons plus such is Serene Miller. If it doesn't fit you, figure it out, okay? But you can claim your gift over there afterwards. A winner of one of the John Tom's barbecue set, our very own Kevin Eckerty. How about that? Yeah. We expect a cookout sometime, Kevin. And then the other one, there's another one of those gift sets, Elizabeth Garrett. So do we hear a whoo, whoo, anybody? Okay. $50 gift card to Roots Burger Bar, Barbara DeFabio. So Mark, there is a dinner for you. How about that? And then another $50 gift card to Whitney Johnson. Is there a hoot hoot here? So anyway, that's good, right? Okay. The winner of a $30 gift card and an Elm Street mug is, and she's going to get really good use out of this, Jennifer Cooper. Say, yeah, okay. And then of the very generous gift from American Lawnmower, you see it over there, the 18-inch Earthwise Quiet Cut Lawnmower. And if this is something you can't use, see me, because I probably will buy it from you, okay? Because I have a real tiny yard. This might be fun. And that is given to Doug Parker. Is Doug here? Okay, good. So those are the winners of the door prizes. And thank you to all of the, notice those came from our award winners tonight, so thank you for that. Okay, Big Idea Pitch winners, finalists, come on up. We're gonna get to the nitty gritty here. Some of you felt like you didn't get the vote. We had a large number of votes, so we had a very good turnout on this. The lines just go down, up and down, and there was a very clear distinction in the winners tonight. So kind of wait in the wings here. I'm going to introduce Lori and Alexis to come up. They're going to help us with the presentation here. And Alexis, behind that banner is the check, okay? So we're going to start with fifth place. Now remember, all this is good. Everybody who pitched here tonight are winners, and we are going to commit to help all of these people to make it to the next step. So fifth place, winner of $1,000 and a trophy goes to Brian and Andrea Hughes of the Live Musicians Association. Okay, you can step down. The next fourth place, winner of $1,500 and a trophy, Troy Smith from the layman bench. So we're not gonna get it. Good job, Troy.
Thank you.
Hey, the competition was strong, right? Third place, winner of $2,000. How many would like to win tonight? $2,000. Carter Anderson and family O. Okay.
Good job, Carter.
Okay, we got the final two. Where are they? Okay. Arm wrestling time. No, I'm sorry. Second place, winner of $2,500 and a trophy, Taylor Lee Fueled Up. And it's no secret now, the winner of the 2019 Big Idea Pitch Competition, first place, $5,000, and a nice trophy goes to Trey Gurley from Window Lux. There you go. You can show off your check. This can be cashed at First Merchants Bank tomorrow, okay? Or Mutual, either or, so. Congratulations, Trey, and congratulations to all of our winners. Let's give them another round of applause. And with all of the people who won tonight, if you're a Excellence in Innovation Award winner or the Big Idea Pitch winner. We'd like to see you over by our backdrop here so we can get some last minute pictures. To bring us home, we just have some final comments by what I would call my commander-in-chief, who is the president and chair of our board of directors at the Innovation Connector, longtime chair of our board, my mentor, and an amazing friend of mine who we owe a lot to in this community, Mr. Ron Fakwer.
I won't let him get off the stage. The brains, the brawn, the heart and the soul, and the people who do all the work for this, Ted, Laurie, and Alexis, let's give them a big hand. Well, thanks, Ted, for that introduction. And wow, what an evening. You know, there's nothing like this anyplace else here in our community where we get to celebrate new ideas, new businesses, especially those in their earliest idea, in their formative stage, and then get to honor those leading innovators in our communities who are growing businesses and strengthening our educational organizations and our local governments. We owe them all a great debt of gratitude. These are the people and the ideas that make our part of the world just a little more special. They create jobs. They inspire us. And they make us believe sometimes that the possible is real. So thank you to all of you. Thank you, Scott, for your words of encouragement tonight. Part of being an entrepreneur is living with the challenges of things that don't really go well. Fighting through the issues when the business plan didn't really work out or take the expected turn, and sometimes we take unwelcome hits, personally and professionally. Many of us in the entrepreneurship world have figured out that we got to pick ourselves up, to learn from our experiences, step out again knowing that we can create that next opportunity, and be a little more wise and a little more savvy. And we salute you on your new business venture roots here in town, and I'll be there this week with that coupon. So thanks welcome. Congratulations to our Excellence in Innovation Awards. You know, you're leaders in our community, you're mentors in our community. We look up to you. Many of you have been in business for years. Some are carrying on a family legacy. Others coupled a personal passion with a business idea. Still others are revitalizing our neighborhoods and making a huge impact by service of life to others. None of you are standing still. You're all still finding ways to help others beat the competition, and you're still providing jobs here in our community for our citizens here at home. And aren't we all just a little bit in awe of young Caleb Hunter, innovating in the fourth grade? I think I slept through the fourth grade, by the way. We can't wait to see what you do next, Caleb. We salute you on your award as well. So congratulations to each of those, please go do, for the Innovation Awards winner. Congratulations to the Big Pitch Award. You're what the Innovation Connector is all about. You know, this idea of the Innovation Connector started about 15 years ago, and you might remember what Muncie and East Central Indiana was like 15 years ago. Jobs were leaving. Manufacturing was pretty much gone. And we figured out pretty simple through the Vision 2001 award-winning Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Program that if we wanted to create jobs in Muncie, we had to do it ourselves. Nobody was going to come from Indianapolis to help us do that. It was up to us. So we set out to create an entrepreneurial culture, and we had wonderful building blocks. The wonderful students from the Entrepreneurship School of Ball State University was one, the entrepreneurs that already existed here in the business, the supporting community throughout. And today, when you look forward, there are now more than 30 businesses housed in the Innovation Connector. another 30-plus businesses that we're coaching on the outside, over 100 employees, $4.5 million annual payroll, and the future is very, very bright. So those who helped along the way were tremendous volunteers. Over 200 companies have come through the Innovation Connector. And I'd like to highlight the board of directors tonight, the people who do spend volunteer time for free. Jim Borgman, an attorney, and if you guys are here, stand up. Jim Borgman, attorney and a partner with law firm of Taffer and Varan. Scott McKee, regional president of First Merchants Bank. Our wonderful MC, Kirsten Smith, associate director for the Center for Information and Communication Sciences at Ball State. Dr. Matt Marvel, director of the Ball State University Entrepreneurship Center at the Miller College of Business. Our newest board member, Don Engel, president and CEO of Dell Tech Solutions. And Steve Anderson, retired chairman of First Merchants Corporation. So join me in thanking those folks. So today, the Innovation Connector is the gateway to economic development assistance for new business ideas and small business assistance in our region. And I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge to add on to Scott's tremendous challenge of writing a thank you note. If you're excited about what you saw here tonight, if you have a business idea, if you want Muncie and Delaware County to be a vibrant spot of economic activity in this region of the state, I'll issue you a call to action to each and every one of you to engage the Innovation Connector in any number of ways. Take a look at tonight's program, and especially the ways there that we can serve you. Get the word out about who we are and what we do to the parts of the community who haven't heard about us. Volunteer to help coach an entrepreneur in your profession or area of expertise by simply letting Ted know that you're available and interested in helping. Sign up for our newsletter and join us at the 1 Million Cups events where you can share your business idea or hear great ideas from others, free, open to the public, funded by the award-winning Kauffman Foundation. 1 Million Cups is a way that you can do this every month, second Tuesday of the month at the Innovation Connector. Details are on the website. And if you've had an idea and it's been bugging you for a long time about how a business that you could get started, come introduce yourself to Ted and Lori and Alexis and learn how we can be a help, or simply be a connector yourself. Send entrepreneurs to us or just those with an idea to kind of walk through those doors, and we'll continue to help. In short, I'm calling you to join the entrepreneurial ecosystem of Muncie and Delaware County right here in our part of the state. I assure you, you'll be glad you did. As a reminder, the coaster on your table is graciously provided by our sponsors. It's yours to take. Put it in a prominent place so you can remember who we are and what we do, and that the Innovation Connector is live and well right here in East Central Indiana. That concludes our program tonight. Congratulations to the award recipients again. Thank you to our wonderful sponsors that made all of tonight possible. Good night, and drive safely going home.